Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, this is called tranquility or what? Last night I lay dreaming lightly. Nana, I miss you. I roam gliding through your home. Rose petals that my mother slowly resurrects. My mind slowly awakens, your light like a searchlight over the ocean. Where am I? Where will I? Who cares? I don't. But by Christ I do. Your gentle moon face, a flower in my eye. Your hair, curls of silk resting on the lake. I saw two swans on the lee today by the bridge as I stood there. I've been waiting for you all this time. A madman in a zoo. Springtime changes into summer. Happy Christmas and a happy new year. I'm waiting for you. Where the hell have you been? There's work to be done. My heart like a searchlight. Find me. You find me. I'm right here. Okay, then where the hell are you? In the corner. Behind your back, on the South Canal, more like the bloody South Pole. Come over to the fairies, dance with yourself, don't listen to the darkness, remember, remember Mandela. Amen. You serve no one by acting small, Sean Oak. It is my greatness I fear. It is my greatness, my greatness, my greatness, my greatness I fear. I have seen the eyes of love. I have seen the eyes of love and never shall I forget.
I'll be finished up to the microphone. We have two Shabbat.
Okay, this one isn't, it's kind of work in progress, so bear with me. This one's not a title. But sorry, is this thing on, please?
Yeah.
One refuge is reality. The shame that has been spoken. And the parallel is mine. Don't get traced to and fro without a sound except that which fastened my child's mouth. The greed that comes through overproduction, over reproduction, as my eyes glance lazily across the sewage thick river to Akron on borrowed time and money. What I would give to be left handed. My misdemeanors construed and apologized for. What I would give to connect to actuality, for a refuge is reality. And while the claim lifts its height, moves into obvious city to obvious city, for it takes the resolve of keenness.
I'll finish, breathe, wash it all in.
It's called The Price of Inflation.
My love illumined, it grew and it grew, my heart became round with the joy of you. But you had slept too long under her toadstool. She had taken your hand, fairy wings, and clothed you and returned you a changeling. Having survived the Hiroshima mushroom cloud of her, you still remained maimed. And yes, my love illumined, it grew and it grew, my heart became round with the joy of you. It has been so long, though, so long in the wind and the frost, with your hand still tethered to the idea of a girl that never quite existed, and may never exist, instead of a heartstring that could bind me to you. And now you look at me, with your round eyes of moon over mushroom, and tell me that you love me, and your arms are as they should be, around me, we are circles, burst and eclipse, burst and eclipse, burst and eclipse, too long in waiting. My heart is a marble, hard, black and round. I keep trying to hide it under excuses and long sleeve jumpers, but it always finds a way to get lost again, sliding down to sit on sleeves, dirting up the dinner table whenever I'm distracted. Brushing it aside, I say, never mind that. It's only rubble from a run-down building, charcoal remains of a burning house, the belching of a volcano. You give me a knowing look, your lungs fill with helium. A rush of wind scatters my notes across the table.
Thanks very much, Peter. That was wonderful. And next up to the microphone, Gillian Madden. Thank you.
This is one I wrote at the Poetry Workshop. And there's some Dutch words in it that you didn't know the meaning of, so yeah, you made it sense. Lightning struck Grant's Gothic castle. He did not stir, immune to anything that would make a mere mortal shiver, existing in blood-curdling silence. With a sweep of his deadly cape, he entered the Fogalula, only cat's eyes visible in the Draculan darkness. Filling his cauldron with herbs and hate, he sank to the bottom of it and swam like a deep sea fish, strange liquid soothing spiteful scales. In the murky distance he saw a mermaid, flame red hair, eyes twinkling, sapphire. He began to breathe in and out, human, alive, awake. Torin, Torin, wake up. The villain shook her man like always, his alarm clock. She left then, hair a blood-red flag, floating down the garden path.
Thanks very much, Julian. That's great. And next up to the microphone, Dr. Seamus Harrington.
Oh, yay!
Woo! Thanks, Julian. Saturday week there was a lot of rowing from Crosshaven here to the city. This was done a few years before. It would be in keeping with the times. Rowing. They puff and heave, strain and tug, oar looms pushed before the hug, carbon fibres, blades all dip to bite the water off the slip. On return stroke, feathering now, in deference here, all heads bow, next stroke faster and more force, when surfing clown, get off the course, straight and true without a roll, welch horned muscles play their role. Lungs of power beyond belief, fitness leaves no grounds for grief. Drive at y'all on this event, row on row without relent, the leaders just a canvas clear, for stroke seems lighter than last year. Strain backs and legs a quiver, forcing hard up tidal river, searing pain and almost dead, without a wake they streak ahead. They flash in military precision, a hiss disguises each incision. 2,000 meters yet to turn, the coaxing, urging cox and stern. Not one length between them yet, who round the boys without upset. Number two, with keel cut back, here's her chance to mount attack. Straightening up, the lead has changed, results may yet be rearranged. With guts on fire inside a knot, each heart yearns for that shot. No cheering masses waving banners, no veering ribs with bad manners, no long air horns to trumpet loud,
no heave or push and surging crowd. That comes later on in season. When I explain, you'll see the reason. It's early summer, yet none complaining, because these ladies are just out trained. The seafarer. He hit the deck one day last week. His dancing eyes short, he's not sunk. His weathered frame is tough as teak. His grapnel claw now rakes his bunk. His quest to find an after cleat. His boat hooks like a walking cane. He spots a bedpost winch complete. He bends the line and takes the strain. He reads her well, notes every sign. He spins the wheel to meet a squall. He grabs his fork and twists a tine. He licks the point of this spread all. He hauls the sheets and pans the sail. He rents the names of countless yachts. He feels his way along the rail. He can't recall these antique knots. He's new to this deep Arctic fjord. His Sunday charts lie still unread. He heaves his quilt raft overboard. He ports the Heron, then full ahead. He claims his pipe is clinker built. He tamps the fill from a locum hank. He leans outboard to meet the tilt. He brute no lip from a junior rank. He clamps his toes on a transom flat. His lightweight line is close at hand. He swings the foam beyond the mat. He plumbs the depths of shifting sand. He knows the bell to change the watch. He calls his boatswain's name aloud. He drains a shot of double scotch. He now ascends that weather shroud. He spies at last those leading lights. He'd catch the tide at break of day. He'd first get out in his dress white. He'd show these buns atop display. He pounds a boot on a cockpit sore. He sees lookouts upon the bow. He's reached the end of this patrol. He hails, let go of the anchor now. He pulls the halyard nice and taut. His nightgown cloak is split in two. He looks for once a tad distraught. He'll soon replace that scurvied crew. He squints again to check the glass. His flagging wits just draw a blank. He feels deep down it's come to pass. He may be next to walk the plank. Thank you.
I don't say this is as great as ever. I just want to take an opportunity as well to welcome a poet from Poland, Thomas, who isn't going to be reading here at the open mic tonight, but will shortly. So you're welcome, Thomas. And the next person on the open mic is somebody from Germany, Rosalind Blue. You're welcome, Rosalind.
I'm going to do three short poems after all these long times. Yes. It's called Troubled Land. When the streets are seething, the land smiles. They lead to cities where people feed and houses bristle with fear and wrath. When the streets are screaming, the land cries. Translated these from German, or this one actually happens at the same time. This one here is a translation from German as well. And I've done a reading in Connie's Attempt ages ago where we included this in a data reading. I don't know if anybody knows what data is, but data isn't wise anyway. It's called Other. Tim Stalin. Don't speech. In arbitrarily, in circus dressing, fitting into smiles. Don't look behind the mirror. It could be a different world. I was not working up there, by the way, on the seabed in Hannah, where the computer is there, where I was working. This one here is made in Ireland, called Netted. Here I stand, the flood still comes, between seaweed and stone. Where creatures dredge in the stardust, a million years long, and the shadows of clouds dance upon mountain tops. Here the wind blows the sleep from my mind, I stand on the rocks, merging with time, and then comes the flood. Wave by wave, streaming and land inwards, embracing my feet. For here I stand. Thank you.
Thanks very much, husband. And next up the microphone, the first person, or for her first day really here, is Madeline Darcy. Sorry, that's her sister that's here tonight.
Yes.
She'll be here next week.
Get over there.
She's
alright.
Is that your wrong
signature?
Yeah. Okay. 5 euro each. Yours is faulty. Yours is a faulty. 3 points for you as well. Okay.
I give the point back now, do
I? You did it, you did.
I did.
And next person up the old mic here is all the way from Canada, and it's Matha Mortizari.
My eyes moved back and forth as I scanned the road from the back to the front. I saw you. You had your next best out too, but you were expecting me to enter through the front. We were gazing in different directions, looking for the same thing. I'm an international student, so I just wrote a little poem for all of my friends who are graduating. I'm leaving Ireland. It's called Song for the Immigrating Graduates. For 5 years, their only thought was to get off this damn island. And yet, every graduate I spoke to last night had only one thing to say. I don't want to go. Silly little humans, creatures of habit. Our roots grew into these places and into these people. I stayed until there was no steam rising and I was covered in goosebumps. I could not put my finger on it, but tender toes peeked at me from 145 centimeters away. They did not know either. We all shivered together at the thought. You said to me one day, as I was washing your plastic plate, habit is the worst reason to do anything. Like the collection of habits, I was covered in goosebumps and I craved the past like a cigarette.
Next up the microphone, Joe Harris. He tapped and buzzed for 60 seconds until my patience snapped. and then trapped him in a glass before releasing him with a flick of the wrist into the brilliant sunshine, and surviving the brutal cost, he revived immediately with something in his fist, a slitter probably, but I could not see his venom for one last strike, making his final point as usual, and me to bear the cross. This is called Epidaurus. Once in Epidaurus I sang, my love she speaks like silence, from the center spot, wondering could words be ever heard from this top row where no microphone was ever hung. I fell asleep and there was a gate, not dressed with ivory, only horn. I went inside. There was my beloved, weeping uncontrollably for our daughter. Something told me I arrived too late to meet Aristides. He had revealed the happy ending that I sought. Anyway, the batteries in his mobile had run out, and Asclepius, being struck by lightning, now beyond being healed. I awoke with my daughter asking, Dad, did you enjoy your little sleep? I wished I could say I only saw your dear mother weep by your sibling sleep.
And now up to read is Mr. Alan Hisley.
Thanks, Jean. As usual, it's going to be a story, if you don't mind.
No problem.
No problem. It's called A Cure for Love. So if any of you have been kind of love-struck and in real trouble, this gives you all the answers that you require, right? Wait for it. All right, cure for love. This poor unfortunate was in love. He knew this because his hands were shaking and his knees were weak and he couldn't seem to stand on his own 2 feet. Some people recognize that. The woman knew this also, as women do. But her heart was as cold as the grave, or else she was in love with someone else. One way or the other, she more or less disdainfully ignored him, or would merely deign to allow her left earlobe incline in his direction. Patience, time and tide and space and distance, his friends would tell him, because most of them had been through this particular mill, as men do. He went to an agony aunt, but she wasn't much better. How can I express my love for her, he had asked, hoping for a clear answer. It doesn't matter how you express it, she replied, so long as you practice safe sex. You can't be too careful these days. And how shall I approach her, he had asked, hoping for some useful advice. The most common way is from the front, she replied, but there are many books which suggest alternatives. You could, of course, kill yourself, suggested a friend, who, although he was happily married, had failed in his attempts 3 times. In the end, he decided to go to Dr. Psycho, who knew all the answers. Oh, doctor, I'm in trouble, he said, and poured forth his story. Well, yes, said Dr. Psycho, after he had listened to him several times and walked around the table, I recognized the symptoms all right, a racing pulse, dizziness in the head, music in the ears, a pale face, a fiery look in the eyes, trembling fingers. I have no doubt that you are suffering from TOAFULS, Toafuls, are totally obsessed and fucked up love syndrome. But what's the cure, he begged? What am I to do? I tell you what you do, said Psycho in measured and professional tones. Get up and go out of this office. Find a white cat who has a wart on his tail. Cut it out with a blackthorn knife. Cut it exactly into 2 halves and sprinkle it with the juice of a newt's eye and the jam of a frog's toe. Boil it slowly in an oyster shell which has been salvaged from a rusty wreck in the Straits of Gibraltar. Go out to a hazel wood when a fire is in your head. Eat only 1 half slowly, chewing it on the right-hand side of your mouth only. Then throw the other over your left shoulder in north-westerly direction just as the sun is going down. Then run home as fast as your legs will carry you and bury your head beneath the blankets. He was listening carefully to Psycho all this time, listening to his smooth, calm, professional voice and his measuring tones. And are you telling me that this would cure my love sickness, he asked, between hope and credulity. Well, I'm not saying it will cure it completely or precisely, said the doctor, but it will do as much good as anything else you try.
Thanks very much, Alan. Our band is pulling pints there, but she's up next. So I'll be informed while you're pulling pints there, please, will I?
Around you,
girl. I read a poem here at Harry's workshop tonight, today. I happened to open a poem and it was in the book, and it was one of Harry's poems was in it. And it was the poem that he read tonight about punk, where it was various punk bands mentioned in it. And I actually lived in Holland at that time when those bands were out. So there's no name for this, but we give it a lash anyway. 19, and he still has a way of making himself small as a yellow by Zonder, basking in the Mediterranean sunshine. At this size, he arches to a pleasing noble disc, says, come up, Dad, and put me in the CD player, where he strolls the rebellious streets of London with Johnny and Sid, dressed in originals, suited to his Lisa. They seem to like him. The tweeters announced crass, the pistols, and a few accepted Americans, my whoppers vibrating to the most wonderful freedom of his out of tune the Baron.
Thanks,
lad. I read another one here, lad. I'll just show off here. I'm just on here now. This is a poem from Cypher's here, lad, which is for sale up here. So this poem is called January Dew, and it's for a friend of mine called Mary Stewart. When grief unbuckled itself, it fell like January dew, seeping right into the very marrow. The big Claire smile was gone. I saw her pass the first riser, her head hanging like a wet bulrush, dancing to an air of no confidence, lonely looking, as if she was already laden with his corpse, and marching on the cold for at the floor. His stipulate in the year of our Lord was punctual. Christ, hold him as you would a slow air at a flag hole. Cast a safety net over his hill and let it kiss his family. She hears him now, as a sleeping fisherman listens to his lapping, love's spectral density. When he informed us that she was gone, I wished I'd ridden tandem, referring to his woman like a welcome seaman. Will I sing a song, Celine, or something there? What would you like? First, Sean Carroll, Danny Boy.
Sean
Carroll,
Danny Boy. Sean Carroll,
Danny Boy. Sean Carroll, Danny Boy. That's what I'd like to do. Put the head around somebody there. Want to read another one?
What?
Sing teenage kicks.
Teenage kicks!
Get on the tongue. But you fucking old fat noisy. And next up to the microphone, it gives me enormous pleasure.
Biography.
To welcome Celine. A Boulevardy Harry Miller.
Experienced more emotions in a few hours while being there
experience that nothing else I felt can ever compare. I spent one of the best days of my life and seeing you in all your glory. You still stand strong despite the ruins of history. From armored tanks invading your sacred grounds to the controversy of allowing others to use what you surround. You are built by the common man. You stand proud in the capital of this land. You represent pride, faith and bring joy to all who enter your circus and your stand. The xylophone of colour, the cacophony of sound, the faces of children, the adults, the old, so evident all around. You are always bright during the day, but then they open to you from the night and from the dark. I love what you represent, my favourite place, that is Cook Park. I'm there on the tour on Saturday and it's really, really good. So this is also too with up on Vernon. One thing I think that is quite lame is when people have the audacity to say it's just a game. Or when the opposition who loses say the referee is to blame. There's plenty of joy in winning. It's shit whenever you play to a defeat. When you're put through the back door and your winning problem's something you won't complete. Well, definitely the game can make you quite contrary, especially if you're playing on your home ground and you were beat by Tipperary.